Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is hour number two, often imitated but never duplicated. Here we go for another hour live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Of course, all of our podcasts end up at Anchor.com. Check out Ring Talk Live Worldwide at Anchor.com for all the previous shows. Straight up, we're talking boxing for the most part in this hour. Of course, the UFC, yeah, we'll mention them to an extent because they did have a card last night, but Stipe Miocic being the world heavyweight champion of the UFC, he did retain that title. And the reason why I sort of say that ho-hum is that the fight really sucked. So we won't get into the fight real deep, but I will bring you the results a little bit later. As Stipe Miocic is still the UFC heavyweight title with a five-round decision over former champion, a former light heavyweight champion, a man that knocked him out with an elbow at one point in time. We'll talk about Daniel Cormier of Silicon Valley, USA. We'll also hear from Jessica McCaskill. And I'm so excited. Maybe we've got an exciting fighter yet. She is the biggest puncher in the world, but she's got three knockouts and nine wins. She's got a couple of losses, but last night, man, you got to hand it to her. Give her some props. I mean, she went into Tulsa, Oklahoma, a decided underdog. Somebody said it was 6-1. I don't think so. It was a little higher than that, but the bottom line is Cecilia Brekus came in at 36 and zip, and she got beat. Got licked like a stamp. Judges had it like this. One judge had it Karen Holderfield. The female judge had a 95-95, meaning a draw. Gerald Ritter, of course, one of the Ritter brothers. My buddy Gerald Ritter had it 97-94. Of course, it means 6-3-1 in rounds, I believe. And David Sutherland at 97-93 or 7-3 in rounds. So that's a pretty one-sided win for the young lady. More props to her. It was the upset of the year. And hopefully she can bring excitement back to women's boxing. Plus, they need to have smaller gloves. I mean, they have smaller tennis rackets, smaller basketballs, smaller boxing gloves in women's boxing. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free page publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-880-7167. 800-880-7167. That's 800-880-7167. Paid for by Airtime Media.
With the real estate market evolving, realtors stand ready to help. Realtors are an expert voice of reason in changing times, and they're working in new ways to guide you through virtual showings and safe closings, to be your ally in the fight for mortgage relief, to understand a neighborhood the way no algorithm can. That's the role of a realtor. This is a real estate season like no other, and realtors are ready. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
As boxing creeps back into existence, per se, the coronavirus, of course, a studio-free, an audience-free boxing match. Of course, the UFC is getting akin to that, and of course, they did it last night with their UFC heavyweight title fight, which we'll get into just a little bit later. But Carl Frampton was a winner, of course, Godfather Larry Merchant brought him up in earlier, of course, a former champion at 122 and 126 pounds. Now fighting at 130, he's got a lot of stones and a lot of ability, Carl Frampton. Frampton came alive last night on ESPN from across the pond at 130 pounds. As I said, on DAZN, Cecilia Brakus and Jessa Masco. And what can I say other than about Miss Masco other than this?
Let's bring in the undisputed welterweight champion of the world and new Jessica Castilla McCaskill. How you feeling right now?
Ridiculous. Who's streaking? Who said they were going to streak?
No, it wasn't for this fight. Hey, we believed in you. Me and Sergio thought there could be an upset in the air. You weren't getting a lot of respect from the odds makers. What were you thinking as those judges' scorecards were being read?
I was thinking it takes a lot to take it away from the champion, and I just kept saying in my head, and new. When I'm on the bag in the gym, that's what I'm saying, and new. And that's what happened.
Hey, talk about your upbringing. When you were homeless and when you were at wit's end and you didn't know what to do with your life, talk about that transition from that moment to where you are right now, the pinnacle of your career and your life.
Well, my coach definitely told me a couple nights ago, he said, hey, this fight it for you. So this is for the fourth grade-year-old homeless Jessica. This is for the little girl that just didn't care what people thought about her and learned to love herself even though she was really weird. And for the me now that's just sacrifices everything to put this sport first and to make a difference, that's what that fight was about.
And I know you're still trying to make a difference in your community. Congratulations for all you've done in your community and you continue to do. Now you walk in there with what? 4 welterweight belts, 2 super lightweight welterweight belts. You're going to be the toast of the town in Chicago.
Oh, man.
What are you going to do when you get home?
I'm going to take a COVID test. And then just celebrate with the gym and my team who's been with me through quarantine and before, like January and before, you know, those gals and guys, they really hold it together. Summer Lynn, 147 professional, 2-0, she's back home taking care of business for me while I'm here. A couple people came in and just drove from Chicago to Oklahoma. How crazy is that? So we're going to go have a nice dinner and just celebrate real chill. I can't wait to see my dogs. My mom's at home. Mom, I love you. Thank you.
Oh, congratulations. You know, what was the difference tonight in there? What do you think the judges saw that they gave you the victory?
I just didn't stop. I didn't expect her to be as rough as she was, but I was ready to be as rough as I had to be, and that's what came out. And it was a lot like McCaskill Taylor 1, and, you know, we're looking for that McCaskill Taylor 2, so it's just throwing when she's holding and trying to move and make those punches happen. Keep your feet moving and just be aggressive, be more aggressive and out-punch. You guys said it yourself. Shout out to punch count. We never get a punch count, but for the females, 230 more punches than she did. That tells you that I wanted it.
Absolutely, and I know you want Katie Taylor, but she's got a stiff test next week against Delphine Persoon. Yeah. Who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know. I think Katie really underestimated her the last time. I was looking back at some of the pictures that you guys were posting, and gosh, she was bloody everywhere, and I hope she's a lot more disciplined in her skills this time and comes out with the win, because I want to be the one that beats her.
All right, and what does it mean to you to stop Cecilia Brakus' winning streak? She defended her title 25 times. No one in the history of women's boxing has even come close to that number. What does it mean to you to stop perhaps the greatest woman of all time in boxing?
I mean, I'm the one that likes to upset the party, so that's exactly. I'm not surprised. A lot of times when they call out the card, and I just stay real mellow and real chill, and then when it's time to celebrate, I celebrate. So, you know, I'm not worried. I'm not, you know, iffy. I'm just waiting for them to call my name and say, "And new."
Well, hey, I know you're going to tear it up in Chi-Town. Go celebrate. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
On
Thank
the
you.
Biggest night of your life. The new undisputed welterweight champion of the world.
Jessica McCaskill, get this, she threw 230 more punches, and one judge called it even. She threw 230 more punches over 10 rounds, and one judge called it even. Karen Holderfield, your license should be taken away. You should never judge a professional boxing match again, as should not the fighters of court, the judges that judge the fight in Las Vegas. I mean, Glenn Feldman, I'm going to name these guys. Usually I don't name guys because with the Association of Boxing Commissions, I've taken the boxing judge test for the past 5 to 10 years, and I've passed, so I've been certified as a judge here in the United States if I want to judge fights. Okay, but the bottom line is, Glenn Feldman's with the ABC as well. All these judges have been with the ABC, but Glenn Feldman saw this fight with Rolando Romero, and this Mr. Morenes, of course, from the Dominican, saw it 8-4 in rounds. 8-4. Holy cow. Frank Lombardi saw it 118-110, or 10-2 in rounds. The other guy scored 8-4 in rounds. Don Triello scored 115, 113, or 7-5 in rounds. What I'm trying to tell you is the Showtime team had it 117, 111 the other way. I had it 118, 111 the other way. Holy cow. I had it 10-2, one round even. What can I say? I wasn't really studying the fight per se, but that's why I was just scoring as I was going, okay? At the end of the day, I thought it was a big tice and a big-time robbery, but that shows you that boxing is back, and boxing is back big. But these judges that are inferior, and they have to be inferior because they're not corrupt. I mean, nobody's buying them. Nobody's buying judges. Nobody's like, "Hey, man, I want you to vote." No, that doesn't happen anymore. People don't buy judges per se. No, they don't do that, okay? So there's no corruption there. It's just ineptness or going along with what they feel is the groove. See, there's a groove there in Las Vegas. The groove is for the hometown fighter. I mean, they gave that guy, Rocky Romero, Raleigh Romero, call him what you want. They gave him that fight for throwing haymakers all night and looking like he couldn't win the Golden Gloves, not even the novice division. I mean, that was one of the, what can I say? That was extremely poor. I was ashamed. I was just absolutely ashamed. Let's go on to the week in history, of course, brought to us by my man Billo, Grandmaster Billo. Of course, he is our house historian. When I say historian, I say his and then story. Bottom line is August 14th, San Francisco Mechanics Pavilion, James Jeffries, retains the heavyweight championship with a knockout TKO in 10 of James J. Corbett, retains a world heavyweight title. That was in 1903. Wow! August 14th, 1903, and in San Francisco at the Mechanics Pavilion. I think that was down at Army and where the freeway is, as far as 101 and Army Street is concerned, the Army Street Circle. August 17th, the Garden, Henry Armstrong, maybe the best fighter ever, split decision win over Lou Amber. We'll have three titles at the same time. Bottom line is, he was a lightweight champion, the welterweight champion, and the featherweight champion. Bad dude, no doubt about that. Pound for pound, hammering Henry Armstrong. 1990. Now, this is a fight. I hate to say it, and I don't mean to disrespect either guy, but I could have beat either guy, and I know I could have beat the other guy. And I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But in 1990, in France, Loretto Garza of Sacramento, California, won a split decision over Juan Cochi to take the WBA junior welterweight title. And I will say this, that Don Chargan and those people came after me to turn pro. They offered me some money. They wanted me. I came to Vegas for the after beating Keith Rucker, who was unbeaten. They sent all these people to watch Keith Rucker. Keith Rucker was a 6 foot one and a half junior welterweight that was knocking everybody out. He was like 8-0 with like 6 knockouts, and he was supposedly killing everybody. I remember them coming to my trainer beforehand saying, you know, maybe you think that your guy is in a little bit too heavy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 12 seconds into the fight, I was standing over him, begging him to get up, screaming at him to get up, of course, disrespecting him to an extent, and I apologize for being disrespectful now, some years later. But the bottom line is, you know, Chargan expected me. He wanted me to turn pro. He sent Carlos Palomino to me that day. Carlos said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? You're Pedro Fernandez, right? Blah, 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 blah. And they went through the whole schmeal. I didn't want to turn pro. What would I want to turn pro for? But I beat Rucker. That was something nobody ever thought I could do. But the bottom line is, both Loretto Garza and Juan Cochi, I think that I could beat both those guys at 140 pounds. Sorry, but that's just the way I feel. In Los Angeles in 1958, August 18th, Floyd Patterson stops Roy Harris. Roy cut and shoot Harris in 12 rounds. He retained the World Heavyweight Championship. Another inept opponent for Mr. Patterson, of course, Custy Amato, picking the opponents at that point in time. He could have fought Sonny Liston. So he had Sonny Liston or Roy cut and shoot Harris. Which guy would you take? Yeah, that's why he took Roy Cut and shoot Harris. August 17, 1951, Alan Minter, born in England. Of course, Alan Minter, the world middleweight champion, the man that caused he wouldn't cause the riot, but when Marvin Hagler lit him up over there in the UK, of course, they threw stuff in the ring. They wouldn't allow Marvin to celebrate. I think that had a lot to do with Marvin being just a pass hole and without the P, I mean, for the most part afterwards. I mean, he was never fun to be around. In the gym, I understand, it's business, but I was with him at WBC conventions in Buenos Aires and in Spain and Mexico, this and that. And everywhere we went, he acted like a turd. I mean, I don't know what more to say. Marvin, that's why when Larry Merchant and I talk Marvin Hagler on the show, I'm not a big Marvin Hagler fan because I think, you know, although I think that he was a great middleweight, but look what he made his bones on. He made his bones on beating Roberto Duran over 15 rounds. Duran was beating him after 12 rounds. He lost to Sugar Ray Leonard in 12 rounds after selling his title because the fight was supposed to be for 15 rounds, but Ray Leonard said, if I give you another $5 million, will you fight me for 12 rounds? And he said, okay. And if I give you another $5 million, will you fight me with these gloves? And Marvin said, okay. And if I give you another $5 million, will you fight me in this size of ring? And Marvin said, okay. So the bottom line is, Marvin sold his soul that night, okay? And look at the guys he beat. As I said, Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. Three guys who were much smaller than him. And the greatest middleweight of all time? Come on. Way overrated, the guy from Brockton, Massachusetts. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, we'll delve into the world of the UFC before we come back in our final segment tonight and spend some time with one of my favorite people. I'm talking about Mr. George Chavalo. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Lenny and some oil to the ground.
Thing is that I'm still in his brain, I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Program. On the line is Paul from California. Hi, Paul. What's your tax problem today?
Hi, Ronnie. Love your show. Listen, I've got a big problem. You see, my paycheck was garnished last week, and I'm only getting half the normal amount. To make matters worse, the IRS froze my bank account. Listen, I'm embarrassed and scared. I need some help.
Listen, Paul, you don't need to feel embarrassed. You just need some tax help. And the great news is the IRS has some unbelievable programs that can eliminate your tax tax debt so you don't have to worry about having your paycheck garnished or your bank levied. Doesn't that sound great?
It sure does, Ronnie.
Then do yourself a huge favor and get a free consultation right now. And tell them the tax lady sent you.
855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. That's 855-715-5721.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey. Want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Are you 60 plus and love to travel? Introducing the Senior Travel Discount Network, brought to you by Low Cost Airlines. Call us anytime, day or night, and save up to 75% on your airline and hotel reservations. We can help you save a ton of money to fly almost anywhere. We have inside discounts on over 500 airlines and 500,000 hotels worldwide. And when you call and mention the discount code 60 plus, we'll give you an extra free night with your qualified air and hotel reservation. Now you can get the best prices on air and hotel reservations with your phone. We make it easy and fast for you to save money and book a trip. Remember, call the Senior Travel Discount Network. Mention the discount code 60PLUS for your free hotel night with your qualified reservation. Call now.
800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. That's 800-493-6118.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamalier. Jeffrey, my brother, miss you. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing, MMA. We'll get to the heavyweight title fight in a bit. Let's go through the undercard. Of course, the UFC rock and rolling last night from the UFC headquarters, Apex Center, call it what you want, in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a closed arena. They have like a couple of people in the crowd, like no audience per se, but like cornermen and people like that. Jim Miller, I guess he's going to be finally retired. Talk about the Cowboy Jim Miller. He was in the ESPN Plus card, which preceded the pay-per-view card, and he was a loser to Vince Pichai. Outside of that, I'm not seeing anything that's making me jump up and down here, except that Verma Jamarada, I think I got that, Jamaroba, beat Phyllis Harreg with a submission armbar. It was one of the smoothest moves I've ever seen on the ground in my life. This girl, a woman strawweight, I mean 115 pounds, she could really, really, really roll on the ground. She rolled this girl right into an armbar. It was like one of the slickest moves I've ever seen in my life. Maybe she's the next Ronda Rousey, because that's what Ronda was doing, was getting people into that armbar. But then once people realized that Scott Cuddy taught them how to get out of the armbar, it was all over for Ronda Rousey. Of course, running into Amanda Nunes and of course, Holly Holmes. What can I say? Boom, boom, good night, sweet princess. I'm talking about Ronda Rousey, of course, blasting the world of professional wrestling, of which she has just retired from, and she says she's going to have a baby. Anyway, let's go to this card last night. The mark. I said he was a mark yesterday. I was wrong. Jezreel Rozenstruik knocked out Junior Dos Santos in the second round, beat on him like a horse. I mean, like trying to get him across the finish line. It wasn't pretty. It just wasn't. Of course, Junior Dos Santos taking those punches before, and I've told you before, some of the beatings he's taken is like the Cain Velasquez licking he took, and you know, and took a couple other Francis and got. I think Francis got some of that. But the bottom line is, Junior is like 39 going on 109, especially in the world of mixed martial arts, and he kept beating on. Last night, he was getting beat on like a Congo drum, real, real light, and then boom, it's all over, man. Got him on the ground, hit him a few times, and Junior was over. Junior, of course, the former, I believe, two-time, at least one-time UFC heavyweight champion. But this guy, Jazzmento Rozenstruik, he defied my, I thought he was a mark, a stand-up, just a stand-up kickboxer. He was a mark. He was going to come in and get drilled, and he did. More props to him, and I got to give him some big props. Speaking of props, he got to go to Marion Vera out of Ecuador, I believe. Of course, he defeated Sean O'Malley with a TKO in the first round, 440 in, a TKO with elbows. What happened was O'Malley, who came in 12-0 with, like, I think 12 knockouts. I mean, he was, like, amazing as the record was concerned. He was on a blitz. And what happened was he kicked Vera, and I think he hurt his leg. And then when he went to stand on it, he couldn't. And then Vera jumped on him, and it was all over. But the bottom line is, man, that was an ugly, ugly finish. They had to carry Sean O'Malley out on his stretcher. And this was a guy they were expecting bigger and better things for, of course, and hopefully putting some money behind it. Now, the World Heavyweight Championship. Man, what can I say? Stipe Miocic. Eventually, the scores were 49-46, 49-46, and 48-47. I had a 49-46, meaning four rounds won for the winner and still World Heavyweight Champion, Stipe Miocic.
The winner and still, Stipe Miocic, the greatest UFC, there you go, the greatest UFC heavyweight champion of all time, without a doubt now. How does it feel?
Tired.
Tired?
Yeah, I'm going to go home.
I can totally understand that. Was there anything about this fight that was surprising to you?
No, I mean, honestly, he's a hell of a fighter, honestly. I wish him nothing but the best. God bless him. You know, he's having a baby in October. God bless him with that. You know, hope it's a healthy baby and lives a long, happy life. You know, and he's an amazing champion, amazing ambassador. Love the guy. I have no ill will towards him. I know we had a thing for the trilogy, but I think that's what makes it better. No, he's a tough dude. You know, I knew he was going to kick more, try to check those more. I knew, I think he knew he had that first takedown, but I got right back up, so I wasn't really too worried. I think he knew that he was in for trouble if he's trying to take me down again.
What was the game plan going in here, Stipe? Was there a plan A, plan B, and plan C? Did you have to vary your approach in any way?
Yeah, I was on plan like 8.70-5. I was like on so many of those right now. I had no idea at one point what I was doing.
Well, that is one of the things about these crazy heavyweight fights. Now, winning this fight, winning the rubber match, cementing your position, not just as the UFC heavyweight champion, but as the greatest of all time, where do you go from here? Do you have to go back and think about this and rest and relax with your family, or do you have a game plan in your head?
My game plan. I swear, sorry. Wake up early tomorrow, get up playing 7 o'clock, go see my baby girl. I miss her all week. Celebrate my birthday on, what's today, 50th? I think Wednesday, the 19th. And just enjoy life for now. Heal up, and then we'll figure it out from there, man. I got the rest of the summer to hang out and enjoy the pool, and I got my new Traeger grill, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Happy birthday, Fran Champ. But if you ever fight Francis Ngannou again, it's all over. Speaking of Ngannou, a young man, of course, that would like to fight Ngannou. I mean, everybody seems to say they want a piece of Ngannou. I wouldn't mind fighting him. I wouldn't mind fighting him. Yeah, until you get into that octagon, into that cage with him. And now they're making this cage a little bit smaller. It used to be 30 feet around. Now it's 25 feet around. So, yikes. I mean, against a puncher, yikes. Absolutely triple yikes. I can't say yikes enough on that one. I would never want to fight Francis Ngannou no matter what. I straight up, if I was a UFC fighter and they said to me, you had to fight Francis Ngannou, I would retire because people have corrected me over the years and said, you know, the object of a professional fighter is to make money, to put money on the table and to pay his rent, this and that. Yeah, but to not get killed. And I think that anybody fighting Francis Ngannou has got a serious chance of having serious permanent injuries. I kid you not. But the World Heavyweight Championship belongs in Cleveland, Ohio, to a boxer per se. And that's what he did last night. Boxing 101. Right-hand crosses, the jab, not looking too good with the jab, but some body shots, maybe not as many body shots in his hooks as he threw in the second fight with Cormier, in which he stopped Cormier on body shots, basically. But last night, it was a boxing clinic, no doubt about that. Now 20-3, I'm talking about the World Heavyweight Champion, Stipe Miocic, former Golden Glove Champion, Cleveland Golden Glove Champion, Ohio State Golden Glove Champion, of course, Cormier, out of Silicon Valley, USA, Santa Clara, San Jose, call it what you want, but the former light heavyweight champion, of course, 23, 22-3,
Two losses to Miocic, of course, for the heavyweight title, of course, after beating Miocic in that upset the first time around. And, of course, the one loss to John Jones, although he was beaten one other time by John Jones, but the decision was overturned because John Jones had tested positive for Flintstone vitamins, a.k.a. steroids. Speaking of John Jones, no word on whether he's coming back, when he's coming back, anything like that. As I told you before, it appears that the rats are fleeing the ship. I shouldn't put it that way, but, you know, like Amanda Nunes wants more money. Can't blame her. Two-division champion, 135 pounds, 145 pounds. Beat Chris Cyborg Santos, considered the most dominant fighter in the history of mixed martial arts before she got knocked out in one round. I mean, ba-boom, surprise. Okay, but she ain't getting the money she thinks she's supposed to get. And none of these women, and none of these women or men in the world of mixed martial arts are getting the money they make. And week in and week out, I rail against Dana White, saying that he is the pimp of all pimps. And if he was working on the streets of San Francisco back in the 70s, and he had a bunch of girls, and he was looking like Superfly, this kind of stuff, like Superfly Dana, guess what? He wouldn't have any girls, because those girls weren't going to work for 8 to 12 cents on a dollar. That's what the fighters are getting. I keep saying it over and over again, and it sounds redundant, but that's pimp stuff. Think about that. The UFC takes in a buck, and they pay the fighters 8 to 12 cents. Dana said a couple of weeks ago, some guy brought up 18 cents. He said, oh, I'm not going to argue with you on that because I think it's a lot lower than 18 cents. Anyway, Boxing 101 was a winner last night for Francis, for Stipe Miocic, but he's got Francis Ngannou's future, and that's not a good thing. No way, no how. Now, the sport of boxing. Let's go back to the sport of boxing in hand. Of course, pound for pound, people think Vasyl Lomachenko is like the guy. Of course, 135 pounds, former two-time world amateur champion. I mean, he lost only that one fight where he sort of got beat up. And when I mean he got beat up, he didn't get beat up like, you know, he got mugged. I guess mug's more like the word to use because he fought Orlando Salido, and Salido came in like overweight to begin with. He didn't make the 126-pound limit, and then he came in like 4 pounds over the weight. And then they went out and gained another 10 or 12 pounds, so they were like 142 pounds come fight time, and they just like muscled Lomachenko around. They sort of took him to school. That was Vasyl Lomachenko's introduction to the professional boxing world, rude as it may be, okay? But he got introduced to that. Of course, now he's like 14-1, and he wants to take on, of course, the unbeaten Teofimo Lopez, the Rage. From Brooklyn, New York, say what you want about Lomachenko. Hector Martinez thinks that he's in over his head as far as Lopez is concerned with Lomachenko. I don't think so. Socrates Palmer doesn't think so. And we're willing to lay a wager on that. That's right. We're betting Lopez. Hector Martinez is betting Vasyl Lomachenko. It's even money because he won't give me the odds I want. But I'm even willing to bet him even money. Bottom is Lopez over Lomachenko in October on ESPN. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on Twitch.tv. Check us out. The Sports Byline USA live TV channel.
Tired of the same old hat? CoverageGear.com is the top destination to find the hats and gear you need to represent your favorite pro teams and players. Head to CoverageGear.com with the promo code RADIO and grab a cap with the iconic jersey number of the all-time greats and current stars from the NBA, NFL, MLB, and more. These classic hats come in the font and style of the superstars' team. So with the number 30 from Golden State, number 2 from the Yankees, number 23 from the Bulls, or a number 12 from the Packers, CoverageGear.com will help you honor the legends of yesterday and today. Check out our collection of dad hats, trucker caps, beanies, stickers, and more. Use promo code RADIO and get 20% off. That's promo code RADIO at CoverageGear.com. CoverageGear.com. We've got you covered.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now.
877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. That's 877-360-0402.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
The Motown sound. I remember when Emmanuel Stewart was my guy. Of course, he retired, the late deceased gold father of the Kronk Gym there in Detroit, the guy of gym that brought us stars like Tommy Hearns, people like that. But the bottom line is, I wanted to write a book on Motown. I mean, I really wanted to write a book on Motown, and like a man who knew all these people in Detroit, so I figured this was like the perfect idea to do, right? So I went back there, I interviewed a couple of people, and they didn't want to say anything about Berry Gordy, and then I tried to interview Berry Gordy, and Berry Gordy was very distant, so the bottom line is nobody was talking. It was like they were all under oath or something like that. They weren't speaking the truth. At the end of the day, I had a good time, and I missed Detroit, and of course I missed Emmanuel Stewart, no doubt about that. Now we switch gears, and we go from Detroit, Michigan to across the border. I'm talking about Canada. Of course, Canada's most heralded heavyweight of all time, I think, without a doubt. I'm talking about George Favalo. He was 16-0 with 16 knockouts as an amateur. I mean, he was a monster. Retired 73-18 with a couple of draws and 64 KOs, and he only got stopped a couple of times. That was by George Foreman and by Joe Frazier. Foreman in 1970 and Joe Frazier in 1967. Of course, both those guys world heavyweight champions and former Olympic gold medalists, so that's nothing to be ashamed of, but he never got knocked down. Remember Ali telling me, I hit him as hard as I could, as flush as I could, and he wasn't going anywhere. So I said to myself, there's no sense to really try for the knockout here with George, because Shavala wasn't going nowhere. Because remember what Ali says, is it true you have never been knocked down? And it was true that George Shavala had never been knocked down. And of course, he had some bad times in his life. A couple of people, I think a wife and a couple of kids, committed suicide. So nothing was perfect for George Favalo after his retirement. I remember in the early 1990s, he and I had dinner together outside of Canasota, New York, the International Boxing Hall of Fame. And he sat there and he ate. I counted them. You know, I do the weird stuff, right? But I counted them. He ate 125 shrimp. These big old shrimps. I'm not talking like prawns. I mean, they weren't little. But yeah, he ate 125 of them. He ordered 125. And he ate all 125. Of course, then he was a bit of a fat guy. You wouldn't tell him that to his face, but now he's trimmed down, he's looking good, he's lean, what can I say? But he is one of the class acts in the world of professional boxing, without a doubt. Still, if I call him on the phone, he treats me like gold. I'm talking about George Shavalo.
Well, here it was in Toronto. I thought it was a great fight. He certainly proved that he could stay in there. He took the best that Ali had. He gave Ali real hell in that fight.
I still felt I had a good shot with Ali, and anyway, it turned out to be a good fight because people most folks didn't think I was gonna go 15 rounds with him, but it was a tough 15 rounds, and it goes down in the history books as one of the better title fights.
A lot of people expected you to get knocked out by this guy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were surprised at not only your stamina for the 15 rounds, but that he, because he'd been putting people down.
Yeah, but I got a hard head. So I know I had a hard head because my grade 5 teacher told me that.
I'm not sure people understand the historical significance of what was going on at that time with Ali, because Ali couldn't fight in the States because at the time he was refusing to go to Vietnam. He had joined up with the Nation of Islam. He had changed his name to Muhammad Ali. There was a lot of politics around it, and people try to put it together as this, you know, this agitator from America. You know, Black Panthers were around, you know, and against this great white Canadian hope. But a lot of people didn't understand that you didn't have a problem with Ali's politics or what he was saying at the time.
No, not to me. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he made a lot of sense. So I couldn't say that what he did was wrong or what he stood up for was wrong. I thought he made a lot of sense.
The people here in Canada are nice. I've never really, honestly, I'm not saying it just because I'm here, because I'm not the kind of person who say things that don't mean. I tell the truth and I'm known for it. But I've never been treated so nice in my life. I haven't had no people making wise cracks. Everybody's friendly, the children, the waitresses, the hotel managers, the policemen, everybody's as nice as they can be. And it's a lot different from where I come from.
History proved you both right, it seems.
Well, they're not mad at him anymore. America was mad at him for quite a while.
You had about 97 pro fights?
97 pro fights, yeah.
Never kissed the canvas once?
Kissed a few girls, but never the canvas.
Talk about the fact that you had all these fights, some of them great fights. I think you fought in Madison Square Gardens, you know, 20,000 people there. You fought these big fights. Yeah. But the one that everybody wants to talk about, including me today, is that historic fight with Ali. Does it bother you that that's the one that they remember the most?
No, not at all. I mean, I can understand it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's no problem. I lost the fight, but, you know, it was a tough fight. And, you know, it didn't do me any harm. In fact, it enhanced my reputation. So that was okay. That was cool with me.
Talk about what happened after that fight. There's a great story about what Ali did after the fight and what you did after the fight.
Well, he went to the hospital with bleeding kidneys at St. Mike's Hospital in Toronto.
He took a few body shots there from
quite a few. And I went dancing with my wife.
You went to the disco while he went to the hospital.
Yeah, I went to the disco. He went to the hospital.
What does it mean to you as a Canadian boxer, one of the greats that followed him? What is his legacy to you?
To me, he's a legend. He's the man that really started Canadian boxing because, you know, it was Muhammad Ali that challenged him to a fight and really came up here to go against a soft Canadian. But he was really in shock when he boxed against George Avello, realizing that this man he can't knock out. This man doesn't cut. This man's tough, and he's from Canada.
Let's talk about some of the you've kind of taken some personal tragedies that you've experienced in your life and really turned it around to try to help people. Talk about that part of George Favala for us.
I went through hell. I lost 3 sons, lost my wife. It's hard, in retrospect, it's hard to believe I've survived this far.
But now you're helping people. You're talking to young people. You're talking to kids. Tell us about that.
I have a chance to address young people and make them understand about how important it is to be on the right side of things, how important it is to be drug-free, how important it is to be cigarette-free, how important it is to work out, how important it is to take care of your body, how important it is to stay in school. Hope that if I can make some sort of impact, talking to them now, tomorrow, there'll be a success story.
You know, I had a lot of fun around him, and I don't mean just watching him eat. I mean having fun around him because he was so classy, and he was so honest, and he talked openly about Ali and talked about openly about the oppression that Ali was facing in the United States at that point in time. And he wasn't talking just about the fact that, you know, Ali refused to go into the draft and the government was on his case. There were a lot of people in the United States who were on his case. In fact, he may have been the most popular athlete, but the popularity wasn't really popular. And there was a good percentage of those people that were that wanted to see him, wanted to see him get hurt and or beat. I remember that in the movie The Greatest, they featured that one lady that went from fight to fight to fight to fight, just hoping that he would lose. And finally, one day he lost, and I think, and she called him the N-word. I mean, she was just like, finally, you got your... So, I mean, it was the animosity was incredible between Muhammad Ali and some of the populace here in the United States. But, of course, you heard Lennox Lewis there praising George Favala at one point in time. Lennox Lewis, the former world heavyweight champion. Favala, as I said, he talked about losing 3 sons and, of course, a wife as well, and I think most of that was suicidal. So I don't know what to say other than you have to be real sorry. I mean, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Big fights. Super big fights. Ain't no super big fights. Looks like Canelo's not going to fight in September. You know, they would have announced it by then. So that's not going to happen. The Mike Tyson fight's been moved up to probably November. I'll get the exact date to be exact, but it looks like they're going to move that to November. I think the Thanksgiving week or something like that. Because, you know, they can't get a live crowd. Or maybe they can get a live crowd of that point in time, and they couldn't get a live crowd in September. Of course, we were originally going to do it September the 12th. Mike Tyson taking on Roy Jones in an exhibition of sorts, and it's sort of like a little spooky. When I say spooky, I mean spooky for the guy that's going to have to spend the money, the 50, 60, 70 bucks, whatever they're going to charge to watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones do an exhibition, an eight rounds, three minute each round, an exhibition with 12-ounce gloves. Now, 12-ounce gloves, that's not going to take a whole lot of power away from Mike Tyson, but it might take a tad of power and speed away from Roy Jones, because Roy Jones is going to need to be fast. He's going to need to be fleet-footed. He's going to need to keep that chin away from Mike Tyson, because once Mike hits that chin, it's probably going to be all over for Roy. Roy hasn't been able to take a punch in a long time, and if you remember, you've been listening to this show since the 80s. In 1988, Roy Jones won the Olympic trials over here in Concord, California. I think that they had the prelims in Oakland, California. So Sugar Ray Leonard and I were sitting in Oakland, California, and he's talking about, he was a promoter at the time. Ray Leonard had a small promotional company. So he's gonna offer Roy Jones $1 million. He's going to offer $1 million. So he's going to give him $100,000 cash that day, and then give him a $900,000 check, something like that, blah, blah. So Ray goes and orders the money. The $100,000 comes to the hotel. I see the $100,000, and he says, Pedro, we got to count this, and that. I said, I ain't touching that money. Anyway, so he counts the money, counts $100,000. The courier counted it first, and Ray counted it again. So he puts it in a briefcase, and he holds on to the briefcase. And then we start talking about Roy Jones, and then he says to me, he goes, you know Roy's got a glass jaw, right? I said, what? He goes, yeah, Roy's got a glass jaw. I said, man, Roy's never been touched. He's never been hit. He goes, no, Pedro. His reflexes keep him out of harm's range, but he's been knocked out in the gym unconscious where he was snoring like asleep, like he was taking a nap, okay, with the big gloves on. I said, really? He goes, yeah. And I think, and Ray tried to allude that it was more than one time. So Ray was hedging on the $100,000. You know what I'm saying? He's got the $100,000. He's going to offer Roy Jones $1 million, but he's got the $100,000 in his hand. Of course, Don King is there. Dan Duva is there. Bob Arum's got his people there. All the big-time promoters, international and domestic, were there, of course, at the Olympic trials in 1988. Of course, good Olympic class, no doubt about the eventual heavyweight champion that year. Of course, it was Lennox Lewis. We mentioned him a little earlier. Lennox Lewis beating Riddick Bowe handily. I mean, just beating him down, no doubt about that. But 1988... good year, but it sort of, when he said that Roy Jones had a glass jaw, I just said, yeah. Maybe, you know, Roy, in other words, I was just figuring that Ray was hedging his bet. Sugar Ray was hedging his bet. He didn't want to kick down the million. He didn't want to kick down the $100,000. And he was like holding on to the $100,000 like it was the last $100,000 he had in his life. And I knew it wasn't. So Ray was having second thoughts because of Roy's chin. So Ray didn't end up signing Roy, and of course Roy went on to superstardom before his chin got exposed. But when it did get exposed, man, did it get exposed! Tarver knocked him. I keep going, man. A lot of guys like drilled Roy Jones, and unfortunately, were guys with lesser abilities than Roy had. Of course, Roy, the 1988 silver medalist, got robbed in the Seoul Olympics against a guy from Korea. Coincidence? Nah. Robberies happen. Hometown robberies happen all the time. Of course, somebody asked me about a hometown robbery the other day. Of course, Andy Nance fighting Lightning Lonnie Smith at the Circle Star Theater. I thought that was a bit of a heist. Of course, Lonnie Smith coming into town. Andy Nance going away with that win. Of course, Andy retiring, a once beaten fighter, losing that one decision when he went up there to We went to Lake Tahoe to fight that left-hander, and he didn't want to spar me in the gym because I was licking him left-handed. Licking him like a stamp, beating him up left-handed. I didn't want to fight left-handed. I want you sparring left-handed. You imagine that one, folks. Some guy that's ranked number one by Ring Magazine, telling you that he didn't want you fighting left-handed. He only wanted you fighting right-handed, even though you had the ability to fight ambidextrous. That's Andy Nance, the brave guy. Of course, he retired once the doctor said to him, hey, man, you have a headache? Yeah, maybe you might want to retire. I'm retiring. He quit. I think Andy was damaged goods after that Mitchell-Julian fight down there at the Circle Star Theater. But the Lonnie Smith fight, that was a bit of a hometown cooking. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. This is the Sunday edition. Of course, if you're listening to the show delayed, you're listening to it at anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast. Of course, updated after each and every show. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Michael Jeffries to the break, and this is his birthday. So happy birthday to Michael Jeffries, one of the lead singers of Tower Power. Tune in the stylistics and dance out on the patio. But now we're always busy. We never seem to get the chance to spend some time together.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now with Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-426-2301. 800-426-2301. That's 800-426-2301.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real healthcare for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable healthcare for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly healthcare payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current healthcare. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm going to go home, hang out with my wife, my dogs, get the baby set up, and then we'll figure it out from there. I'm just tired right now. I just want to go home and hang out. And
We wish him the best. Stipe Miocic, still the world UFC heavyweight champion. Of course, Dana White pushing him into a fight. He said he didn't have a full camp. You know, the bottom line is when you look at the fact that Daniel Cormier came in like 25 or 30 pounds heavy as far as fat's concerned, anytime did you have that rough of a time boxing a fat guy, what can I say? You're not using all your boxing skills. That was a knock I had last night on Stipe Miocic. But I do want to give praise to the fighter of the week, Jessica McCaskill. She's got like 1,000 different 147-pound title belts, a couple 140-pound title belts, but she is the world champion, 147 pounds, an unheralded 6-1 underdog to Cecilia Brakus, who's like 36-0 with like 9 KOs. She had never lost a fight, hadn't lost too many rounds. Bottom line is, last night, she got licked like a stamp. But that one judge, and get this, the young lady that won through 230 more punches over 10 rounds, and one judge had it even. What kind of crap is that? That's what's wrong with professional boxing. Much like those three judges last night in Las Vegas, of course, I'm talking about for that WBA lightweight title fight with Raleigh Romero and the Dominican man. They took that. I mean, the Dominican should have got the penthouse and said he got the shaft. Okay, he just did. I couldn't believe that. And, of course, as I said, social media outrage, different champs screaming about it. Of course, I'm talking about my man Ryan Garcia. And, of course, Ryan Garcia is going to be... We don't know if the fight's signed yet. We'll have it next week as far as deafness is concerned. But it looks like one of my favorite guys, Ryan Garcia, is going to be in action. Of course, Gervonta Davis in that big fight with Leo Santa Cruz. People say Leo Santa Cruz is showing incredible intestinal fortitude. But where Santa Cruz thinks his advantage is, he's going to make Davis come in at 130 pounds. And he won't be able to last 4 or 5 rounds, have him make that extreme weight. Because he usually fights at 135 pounds. So we'll see what's happening there. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide, a production of Sports Byline. Of course, you can catch us live on Twitch.tv, a Sports Byline USA channel, both live and delayed, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. But most importantly, you can check us out, baby, at Anchor.com, the Sports, and of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide channel. Until then, Scott Cuddy's my executive producer. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.